Programs, views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, the Bible says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And we have a lot to rejoice about. We can rejoice that it's another day closer to when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will come back to this earth and take it over and rule from Jerusalem. That's why you hear so much about Jerusalem in the news. God's focusing attention on that city, which will be the capital city of the world, when he comes to take over, and what a day that'll be. But meanwhile, we can rejoice in our salvation. And Jesus said, "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And he said, "All that the Father give him, he's never lost a person." And when you put your faith in Jesus, that he has died for your sins, that he was punished for your sins, that he bodily rose from the dead, and you invite him by just taking words, the Bible says, into your life, you have eternal life. And today we're going to talk about the cross of Christ and the meaning of that and the great sacrifice of Christ. But first of all, I'm so glad to have the folks here with us, and some of them are helping us out in many different ways, and then some folks in the studio too. But we have Kim Davis over here, and then we have Clark Block, and then we have Pastor Al Davis, and Linda Ewing is here with us today. And so, and we're glad for all of you folks that are here from all over the world. I just asked Kim to greet you all, and where we're getting, where the program is going, and just read some of the nations where we have received hits on our website that we've just set up. It's nearly 1,000 people have got on to our website from all over the world. I'm going to ask him to read these countries off right now, because I think it's very fascinating where we're getting these hits and the fact that you're all listening to us.
We have the website, whereisgodsword.us, and so we have some hits from various countries around the world. The radio goes out over 1220 here, and also over the Voice of Africa, as well as the internet. And so the website's getting hits for places like Canada, China, Finland, Japan, Russia, Sweden, Taiwan, the Ukraine, and also multiple hits here in the United States. So we are seeing some people coming and looking at the website, and if you're visiting the website, we appreciate your visit, and we are glad that you can download the old programs and learn more about the fight for the King James Bible.
Yeah, we've got hits from also from Finland, don't we, and Israel, and there's other countries too. And we just thank God for all of you that listen. Pray for our program. You know that God will speak to people's hearts. And we say this is equal time, because it's always been this way. The devil attacks the word of God, and the first thing he says is, "Yea, hath God said." And so the true word of God, which has come down to us from Christ and the apostles, and finally was translated into the King James Bible, of course, it's attacked and so-called corrected constantly. And so we call this equal time, because we're not here to correct it. We're here to uphold it. And we believe that God has given it to us, and the correctors, of course, are, you know, in reality, they're sort of serving the program of Satan, because they are correcting God's word. And it's amazing. They'll say that it's God's word. They hold it up and say it's God's word, and then they correct it. If that's so, then they're able to correct God himself. If it's God's word and they can correct it, they're correcting God. What do you think about that, Pastor Davis?
Well, yeah, it makes man the ultimate authority rather than God, and it appeals to man's pride, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, they talk about the fact that faith in God's word is going down and so on, and yet they're the ones that are putting it down by constantly correcting, like saying a better reading is, it's an unfortunate translation. So we're going to talk about that today. And they'll say, well, you got to remember the King James is a translation too, and then no translation is inspired. So in a few minutes, we're going to talk about that. But we're glad to have all you that are listening and pray for us. And we uphold the King James Bible as God's perfect and true word. And in the book of James, it states this. It says, we can look at the perfect law of liberty. It's something that is perfect, and it is something that we can look at. We have a King James Bible here, and we're looking at it. And thank God it's perfect and true. And so we're going to be talking about that today. But first, I want to go into the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. And I want to talk about the cross of Christ and the meaning of that cross of Christ, or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this is the core belief in biblical Christianity. And that's the only kind there is, a real kind, is biblical Christianity. And so in Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about this. And first of all, we see that the sacrifice of Christ was done in his body. It states in Hebrews 10, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year and continually make the comers there unto perfect. So the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they were a picture of something to come, but they never perfected it. It did make an atonement that was a covering for sin temporarily until Jesus came. Then it says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, would have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of this sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So animal sacrifices could never take away sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. You know, one of the ways to impress people with the seriousness of sin was to have them come and confess their sin and then take an innocent animal and kill that animal in their place. And that animal showed that the wages of sin is death. And it was also a picture of Jesus who would come. So in verse 1 through 5 of this chapter, it shows that this sacrifice was not going to be the animal sacrifice, which is a picture, but was going to be done in the body of Jesus Christ. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. So this comes from the Old Testament, and it comes from Psalm chapter 40, and verse 6. And God himself would take on a human body, and that was 2,014 years ago in Bethlehem, Israel, at where he was to be born, and then he would die. And we know the exact place where he'd die, at the place of the skull and in the side of the hill. It looks like a skull behind the bus station there near Damascus Gate and El Saladin Street in Jerusalem. And up there in that Muslim cemetery where the cross was put, and on that tree, the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for our sins. He was punished in our place. You know, I've had someone say, well, boy, when I sin, I know that God is punishing me when some tragedy or something bad happens to me. God never punishes his people. If you're saved, God will not punish you. Your punishment has been paid 2,000 years ago. All of it was taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, God disciplines you to bring you back into fellowship and make you a better person. But the word punishment should never be used, because Jesus was punished when he was sacrificed. And they beat him into a bloody mess. They smashed him in the face with a stick until you couldn't recognize the stick. And it was all prophesied. And so the sacrifice of Jesus was done in a physical body. God took on a body in Bethlehem, Israel, through his mother Mary. And so it says there, and it predicts that, a body hast thou made me for that sacrifice. Then the sacrifice of Christ perfectly fulfilled the will of God in verse 9 of our chapter. It says here, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now, as Christians, We are to do the will of God, and we are to witness, and we are to pray to the Lord, and we are to go to church and serve the Lord. But we do it imperfectly because we're sinful creatures, and we'll never perfectly do the will of God. But the Bible says when Jesus did it, he perfectly did God's will. He did it 100% correct. And by faith in him, God looks at us as we perfectly fulfill the will of God. In other words, when by faith you receive Jesus Christ, you are doing the will of God. And somebody came to him and said, what works should we do that we might have eternal life? And Jesus says, believe on him whom God has sent. That is, you accept Jesus as your sacrifice for sin and as your Savior and as your God. And then because he perfectly did it, God counts his perfect, the fact that he did it perfect, he counts that to you. That's a good deal, isn't it? Man, I mean, I know sometimes I get discouraged with myself. I can remember an event and I thought, oh, I just messed up. I mean, I just haven't done all that I should do for the Lord. And then the verse came to me, yes, but Jesus did the will of God perfectly. And because I put my faith in him, God counts me as perfectly doing his will. See, his will for you is to accept Jesus. Okay, the sacrifice of Christ sanctifies us forever. In verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, the word sanctified simply means to set apart to God. And when we get saved, when we put our faith in Jesus, because Jesus has paid for our sins, God sets us apart to himself, and we become God's child. There's a great song I love to sing. It goes like this. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. And so God sets us apart, and we become a child of God by faith in him. You know, in talking to different folks, I sometimes talk to them and I tell them, you know what Christianity is all about? God just wants to get a family. And he wants you to be a part of his family, give you everything he has and all of his love and all of his care. And so when it says sanctified, it just simply means that we are set apart. We become a child of God. It says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so we receive him by believing on his name. Lord, his name is Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means that he's God, that he has the right to tell you what to do. And Jesus means that he is our Savior. He lived a perfect life. That's counted to us when we accept him. He died in our place for all of our sin, and he's our Savior. And Christ means he's the coming King of this world, and he will rule from Jerusalem, Israel. So the sacrifice of Christ sanctifies us. Then the sacrifice of Christ was done once for all in verse 11 and 12. It says here, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And it says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Now, Jesus Christ was sacrificed one time. There's some under the title of Christianity that teach that the communion or mass is a continual sacrifice of Christ. That idea was introduced into Christianity by Cyprian in 250. And they claim that they can turn that piece of bread into God, the body, soul, flesh, and blood of Christ, and then they sacrifice that piece of bread again in the sacrifice of the Mass. But the Bible says right here that by one offering he perfected forever. He did it one time, and it sat down. He sat down because the job was finished. And when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And people ought to have that word burned into their soul. Our salvation is complete. And when I receive Jesus, God counts me as perfect. You know that the Bible says, blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity or impute sin to us. He doesn't count our sins against us because he has counted it to Jesus Christ. Every sin we ever did or ever will is counted to Jesus. And when Jesus died, he said, it is finished. Our salvation is complete. And all we have to do is receive it. So the sacrifice of Christ is done one time. It's not a continual sacrifice. And then the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ causes God to forget our sin in verse 17 of the chapter. And it says, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. God, when you meet God, God has wiped out all record of your sin, and he will never bring it up again. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, you can't get anything better than that. And some Christians, you know, after they've been saved sometime in the past, they've done things that are really bad, really wrong. And sometimes they hold that. But you shouldn't do it. When you receive Jesus Christ, at that moment, God wipes out all remembrance in his mind of your sins. And you meet God with great joy because there'll be no sin on your soul. It's all been taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the sacrifice of Christ, and I'm going back to verse 16 again, it changes our heart. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them. And, you know, I remember one time why some guy was real hostile towards me and when I was witnessing to him. And I said, don't you realize that God loved you and he was punished for every sin you ever did or will do? And he wants you to come into, he wants you to be a part of his life, and he wants to take you to heaven. And I just saw him change, his attitude change. And you see, when you accept Christ, God puts his Holy Spirit in your heart, and you want to live for him. You want to serve him. If you don't, then you better get saved. You better accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because God gives you a new heart, a new change of attitude, and new thoughts. And so the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ also makes us perfect forever in God's sight. And this is found again in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected us forever, them that are sanctified. Now the sacrifice of Christ remits sin. And this is found in our chapter in verse 18. If you have Hebrews 10, you could open up. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now, when you go to a supermarket in America, they after you pay the bill, they give you a little paper, on that paper in black and white, it shows what you have paid for, and you put it in your bag, and if you go out, they check you at the store, at the door, you could hand them that paper, and they could check what you have in your bag with the paper in black and white, and that shows that everything in your bag has been paid for. Well, Jesus, when it said remission, that means that every sin that we have committed, there is a payment for that sin, a judgment and a punishment, but Jesus has paid for it. And so we can go to heaven, and we get there. If Peter's at the door and he says, why should I let you in? We don't say, well, I've lived a good life, and I've done this and I've done that, and I've prophesied in your name, done many wonderful works in your name. Peter will say, we don't have a record of you. You're not a citizen here. But if we say, Jesus Christ, I've accepted him, and he has paid for my sins, and that's my ticket in, Peter will say, come on in, if he's standing at the door. It says the sacrifice of Christ is a remission. It's the same as a remittance. That is a payment for sin. And the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, then, causes us to forget our sins. It causes God to forget our sins, and we can forget them too. The sacrifice of Christ also gives us access to God in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that is, we can pray and expect our prayers to be answered. You know, there's humanists that say that they don't believe God answers prayer. Well, there's millions of Christians all over the world that can testify that God answers prayer. I just think about this, but I was teaching at Massillon Baptist College in Massillon, Ohio, and I always asked the students when I was teaching to thank God for something. And when young lady, her and her husband were going as missionaries, and they needed a car. So they prayed, Lord, would you please give us a car? We need a car. And so next morning, somebody knocks on the door of their apartment, and they say to her, we just came down from Michigan. We stayed in a motel overnight, but we believe that God wanted us to give you a car. Here's the keys, very next day, see? But God does supernatural things like that, and most Christians could tell you that there's times where God specifically answers prayer. The sacrifice of Jesus gives us the right to come to God and to get our prayers answered. And so when a humanist says it doesn't answer prayer, we could laugh at that because we know that it happens. And then the sacrifice of Christ is done through the shedding of the blood of Jesus. In verse 10 of our chapter, it says here, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And also the offering of his blood is mentioned in this chapter. I missed that verse, but do you have that verse there where it says the blood? And we know that that when he died, his blood was shed, and it says by his blood he entered into the holiest place. But anyway, his blood was shed there at that sacrifice, and his blood was taken into heaven, and that blood is there today. And if the devil says, Bruce, you have sinned, Jesus is our not only our judge, but he's our lawyer. I'm glad my judge is my lawyer. And he pleads my case, and he would say to the devil or anybody that would accuse me, yes, but the payment for Bruce's sin is right here. This is my blood, which has demonstrated that the sin has been paid for by me. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And so the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is his blood takes away our sins. And the sacrifice then of Jesus Christ, it was in verse 19 of our chapter, that thing I just stated. Now the sacrifice of Christ is received by faith. In verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, some Christians think, well, I did that sin. Will God forgive me of my sin? And they're worried about the sins of the past. Listen, if you're saved, when you meet God, the Bible says he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We'll meet God with no sin on our soul. Why? Jesus' blood has taken away our sins. And the Bible says your sins and iniquities will I remember against you no more. We'll meet God in joy because there's no record that we have ever sinned. And it sprinkles our heart. The blood of Jesus gives us a pure conscience. We don't have to fret and think about the things in the past. Paul tortured and murdered Christians, and yet he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so he said, I was an example of what I did, that God forgave me and saved me because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know, there's preachers today that are not preaching about this. And you know, the reason is they're not doing it is they're not going by the Bible. If you're just preaching your ideas on religion, that's a waste of time. And if you're listening to somebody like that, you're wasting your time. God has given us his word, and a preacher should preach God's words, not something out of his own imagination or somebody else's imagination. And if he's not preaching on this subject, there is something wrong with him, and you don't need to listen to him and give your support to him, because this is what gives us a victorious Christian life. That's why God says that he says he has new mercy for us every day. If I've blown it today, if I sin today, I can confess it to the Lord. It's forgiven. And tomorrow morning, he has a new set of mercies. I can get up and start all over again. And that's wonderful. And I can forget that I've sinned in the past because Jesus Christ, God forgets, and he paid for it. So the sacrifice of Christ is received by faith. Faith means you trust in what Jesus has done. You trust in Jesus as your God and as your Savior. The message of the New Testament is stated over and over, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't trust in the church. You don't trust in sacraments. You don't trust in your denomination. You don't trust in good works. You know, there's a lady, and I don't want to mention her name because it'd be controversial, and that's not the point of this program. But she's a famous lady that was had done all kinds of good works and good deeds and helping the poor and so on. But, you know, after she died, they found her papers, and in there she said, I'm far away from God. He's not close to me. And she was very depressed, although she was very religious. And the reason was she wasn't trusting in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for her. She was trusting in her good works. And so she was far from God. But the Holy Spirit, if you will trust in Jesus Christ, he will tell you in your heart that you're forgiven and that you're right with God, and you'll begin to love God for who he is. He's merciful, and he will forgive you in anything and everything. And if you mess up, he's put a new heart in you, and he gives you new mercies every day. And it says in the Bible, and I repeat it again, blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity. He doesn't even count your sins against you anymore. And so you want to live right, and you want to serve him. The sacrifice of Christ brings has made the judgment of God, puts it on Jesus Christ, and you will not come into judgment. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus was judged for all of your sins, past, present, and future, 2,000 years ago. And you can meet God with exceeding joy. That's the word the Bible uses. That's great joy. That's wonderful joy. And you know, when we think about this and we talk about the Lord or we listen to music, sometimes our heart is just filled with joy. We're just thrilled and we're excited and we have joy. It's called joy unspeakable and full of glory. And God has showed it unto us already. We have a taste of heaven even before we get there. You don't have to worry about the angels beating you in the future, going to purgatory or hell. That is not in the Bible. But the Bible teaches that God forgives us and we have eternal life. Well, God bless you. We're going to have an announcement now at this time.
What can be done to fight the promotion of offensive material aimed at children? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I was looking at Sesame Street on last week with my son, and the Elmo portion of Sesame Street, they were talking about families, and they showed two men with a child representing a type of family. My question is, what would be my steps to complaining about that?
Well, you got to talk to PBS, and you got to talk to them and express your concern. You know, that your listener-supported broadcast, and they are susceptible to being talked to. But I would do it politely, I'd be courteous, but I would be direct and tell them you're concerned the direction of where the programming was going, and you're a big advocate of the program, but you didn't like that particular aspect of it, and see what kind of response you get. And I think that's the way to do it.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Isn't it amazing how early the interests of a child assert themselves? Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. My mother-in-law said that when my wife was just a baby in a playpen and there'd be music playing in the background, her little foot would be tapping to the sound of music. Stayed right along with the beat of the music the whole time. Even before she knew what music was, little Cynthia was responding to it with the tap of her foot. Some of our children are coordinated. Some are athletic. Some are competitive. Some, on the other hand, are creative and artistic and messy. What an adventure it is to rear our children, to watch for the little foot tapping or to see what makes their eyes light up. Channel those interests and abilities for God's glory.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Welcome back to our program. We're getting Bruce back online here in just a moment.
Okay, I was waiting for that music to go, but I'm here. Thank you, Pastor. And if you would like to announce your church service and also your radio program.
Yeah, just thank you, Bruce. And again, want to give out the call, the telephone number for the program. Bruce will be taking calls here in just a few minutes. And you can give us a call here, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or you can call the regular number here, 216-901-0933. That's 216 901-931-9033. If you've got a question for Bruce Musselman regarding the Bible issue, the translation of the King James Bible, the preservation of God's Word, and you can give him a call, either 216-901-0933 or toll-free 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, you can go online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And we have Bruce's programs listed there. You can download an MP3 copy there at whereisgodsword.com, as well as access some of the resources that Bruce talks about and learn a little bit more about him. And then, of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and just thankful to be able to help Bruce out. And you can find out more about us. Again, just go to whereisgodsword.com, and you can see links to me, but you can also see links to Bruce's resources and also Manaway Country Baptist Church that sponsors the program. That's all there at whereisgodsword.com.
Recently in a church service, I heard somebody come and they were speaking and they said, "You have to remember that the King James Bible is a translation." Now, I want to talk about that today, and there's a meaning behind this. And basically, when they say you got to remember it's a translation, they're saying that it was translated by fallible men. Therefore, in reality, the translation has errors in it. And once that is established, then that gives all these people the right to correct it because they're just as good as the people that translated it. Now, the scripture verse says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, for God's word to to help you and to work effectually, that is, to do you good, you must believe that it is the word of God. And we have this double talk today where at one point they say it's the word of God, but then it's just a translation. And the Bible says, first of all, and then they go on to explain this, and sometimes they won't say this right away, but they'll say that no translation is inspired. Well, then we don't have, if that's true, then we don't have the inspired word of God. And they'll say something like this: "We are reverent biblicists with unquestioned loyalty to the originals." Now, I remember when I heard this statement, I began to think about the scripture. Did Jesus and the apostles use the original autographs or the originals when they quoted the scripture? No, of course they didn't. And when they say no translation is inspired, let's look at this. How about when Moses translated what the Egyptian said or what Pharaoh said? Was that inspired? How about in the New Testament when they're writing the New Testament and they quote from the Old Testament and they write it in Greek and the Old Testament is written in Hebrew and Aramaic? Was that inspired, that translation that they made? So right off the bat, they are in error. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And listen, they say, oh, that shouldn't be translated like that. Of course. Well, we were talking about that. It was translated by practically everybody in the ancient commentaries or the older commentaries just like that. And so they don't like that verse because it said God preserved the words. And the Bible says, "With men of other tongues will I speak to this people." So God is speaking to the world, and he is preserving his words and speaking to the world in men of other tongues. And so we should believe that we have the word of God. Now, it's a matter of double talk. For instance, I hear this all the time, and many people from evangelical churches, they'll say, "Well, I believe the Bible is infallible, present tense, is inspired, is inerrant, every word is true." And they have a lot of books written like that. But then after saying present tense is present tense, and it is true and is infallible and inspired, and every word is the word of God, then they say in the originals. Well, has anybody ever had all the originals at one place? No. So in reality, they don't even believe that anybody has ever had an infallible, inspired, inerrant word of God. And God has said that he would preserve his words. And right at Pentecost, what happens? When they were praising God, they heard them speak in 13 different languages. So God is involved in languages. He made language. And if they heard him on Pentecost in 13 languages, certainly God could write it down in 13 different languages, which he has today. And so we have the Word of God today. And as we mentioned many times, and that's why we have this program, because it is devastating what is going on. All the time you hear these people, they get on radio and television and they'll say, the Bible is true, the Bible is infallible, the Bible is inerrant, present tense, present tense, present tense. And then they say, then a few minutes later, this is an unfortunate translation, a better reading is the original say. You know, they say it so dogmatically, and they never give you any evidence or reason for that. And if they were honest about it, they would say Denker said, or Schaff said, or we said, because they are looking at, or they're looking at these lexicons, you know, and they're getting their definitions and so on. They're getting their words from these fellows. And a lot of these people, man, were people that, number of them, were not even born-again Christians by any biblical standard. And this is coming into evangelical schools and being taught in evangelical schools by people that have not received Christ as their Lord and God and Savior. And there's a book out, Hazardous Materials, and I definitely recommend, if I had a Bible school, I would have every preacher read that, every student read that book before he graduates. That would be one thing. It's called Hazardous Materials by Gail Riplinger. Now, a number of books have been written on this subject, a lot of books, but they will not be sold in these bookstores. And even if you order them, I tried recently to order one of these in a bookstore just to see, and they will not order these books because the Bible of the Month Club would hurt financially if they ordered them, if people started reading these books. And so we get back to this. God said he would preserve his words. And it said the whole world heard the word of God. It was preached in the first century, and a number of times it states that. What were they hearing? Well, in the world was speaking Gothic, it was speaking Anglo-Saxon, it was speaking the Chinese language and all. It was speaking all these languages, but God had preached his word in these different languages. And so when we talk about the word of God, we're not talking about something that you don't have. If it's just in the originals, nobody has the originals. They'll say the originals, but then you say, show me an original. That is an autographed copy. No, they don't have it. And, you know, the closest thing to it is the received text, which is 99% of the manuscripts, which back the authorized King James. The modern ones come from Constantine's Bible, which is less than 1%, and the 1% disagree with each other. And so what are you doing? So as I mentioned many times, somebody says, well, I trust this guy. You have what Spurgeon called popelings. You have Pope, and I could name them, you know, that people put their trust in, and they correct God's word, which is the authorized King James Bible. So you don't trust in his word. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. But it says that we are to trust in God's word. I trust in God's word. And we are to believe we have it. It's simple. All through the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's something we have in our heart. It's something that we can look at. James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. Paul says we can handle of the word of life. It's something we can hold, we can look at, we have in our heart. And we are to believe that this God has the power to do that. God can speak in languages. He made language. And so we're to believe that today. And this is massively confusing when you have, the Bible says they all spoke with one word. They all spoke with the same thing. Then you have preachers, they have the book of the month, they have the counterfeit of the month or the counterfeit of the year. Every year you got a new counterfeit coming out. Why? Money. That's why. The love of money is the root of all evil. A root is what nourishes the plant and the love of money nourishes all evil. And so you have all these different Bibles, and they come from corrupt manuscripts. They come from the 1%. They come from Origen. They come from Constantine, incarnation of the sun god, you know. And so we are saying today that we have the Word of God. Thy word have I hid my heart. And it says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words. Or that's Psalm 12, 6, and 7. I'll get that right. But it says, the grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And the one that stands, since the King James came out, 200 translations have come out. And about 99% of them are not even used anymore. They just are around a little while the advertising is there. When the translators and the advertising stops, they stop too. But the word of our God will stand forever. And that points to the King James Bible. Do we have somebody on the...
Yeah, we have calls? Nancy calling in.
Okay, good. Nancy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Brother Bruce. You know, I was studying a little bit about the King James Version, and from my reading, they made some corrections. The words were changed, and printing errors were corrected in 1616. Now, why shouldn't it be called the 1616 King James Version, if that was true? I'm just wanted to clarify that. And also, if you could tell me the difference between the King James Version and the New King James Version. Thank you.
Okay. Well, one of the guys on the translation committee just simply went over the printing errors at that particular time. He was on the original committee, and he just went over where they had not printed it right, you know, and got and corrected that. But the New King James Version was a lot of those people that were on that were taught the theories of Westcott and Hort, and even though they didn't throw out Jesus out of his Bible like most of the other ones did in 100 places. They have corrupt readings in the New King James. So one of the things that they didn't like is they threw out the blood of Jesus over 15 times.
Oh, you're kidding!
In the New King James, yes.
Oh, wow!
And if you want to find out the evidence of this, and we want to give this evidence, it's called "Which Bible Is God's Word?" by Gail Riplinger, and there's many people now that have written books on it, and I try to talk about the best ones that I have ever read, and that which Bible is God's Word talks about the New King James in detail. And one of the things, like I say, is the blood of Jesus. For some reason, they don't like that, but they throw that out there, and there's a number of other important changes also.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, when I first started going to Bible Baptist Temple back in 1986, you know, Pastor Andy Rusnecko, I didn't know any better, and I had just bought a New King James Version, and I was showing it to Pastor Andy, and he says, oh, no, he said, I hope you haven't marked in it. He said, just take it back and exchange it for, you know, the original King James Version, because I didn't know any better, but... So, he didn't give me a lot of details, but that's really amazing that they took out the blood of Jesus 15 times. That is blasphemous. I mean, I'm going to have to get that book, Hazardous Materials by Gail Riplinger. You say you can get it on the internet?
Yes, and do you have the phone number there that you can call?
Yeah, you can either get it on the internet directly, or you can call, you can telephone at 276-251-1734. That's 276-251-1734. Or you can go online to avpublications.com. That's avpublications.com for authorized version publications. And you can order online at avpublications.com, or you can call 276-251-1734.
Oh, okay. Is that Gail Riplinger's phone number, or is that the company that you can...
Well, she has it right there at her house, and usually her daughter, the one that we play her singing, she usually answers the phone, or her husband.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That her daughter's husband.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really did enjoy hearing Gail Riplinger sing. I know you've had her
That's your daughter. Her. That's your daughter.
The daughter. That's what I mean. I'm sorry.
That's Bryn. Okay.
Well, what is her daughter's first name?
Bryn.
Bryn. Okay. Thank you very much.
She probably answered the phone, or Steve, her husband, will answer.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really enjoy your show, and praise the Lord that Pastor Al Davis is there to help you, too.
He's doing a great job.
All the time.
Yes.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Okay. We have anybody else here?
Nobody else right now, okay. But the phone line is open at 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. Or if you have trouble with that line, or if you just prefer it better, you can call at 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933.
You know, this subject is so important because the most important thing in the universe is the Word of God. If we don't have God's Word, we have no idea why we're here, where we're going, what our purpose is. We know nothing, and a lot of people are content to believe somebody's imagination or something they cooked up in their head. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And so you have all these different religions that somebody has made up, but why believe them? But the God of this universe over and over says that he has given us his words. And so we have his words today. And in the Bible here, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. It's alive. It can reproduce itself. And it abides. It's something that we always will have. And it's in other languages, too. And that's why the Authorized King James Bible, the translators had these Bibles translated into other languages on their desk, and so it was the true word of God which went into the whole world. The Bible says whole world heard it. They had the words of God. And today it's there. And the devil always is into counterfeits, and he's always counterfeiting. The first thing he says is, yea, hath God said, and he questions God's word. Then he has a counterfeit church. He has counterfeit Bibles. He's got counterfeit salvation. He's a counterfeiter, and he's going to have a counterfeit Christ also on the scene. But the only way we could tell what is true and false is through the Word of God. And there's so many verses that point to the King James Bible. For instance, it says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And this is the text that has come down to us in the New Testament from Christ and the apostles. We can trace it right back to Christ. We know the early church fathers, most of them were quoting this, the earliest manuscripts. Don't let anybody tell you that there's earlier ones than this, because the earliest manuscripts they found, and even ones they found since the King James came out, go back to the King James. Of the over 5,000 manuscripts that they found, over 99% back up the readings in the Authorized King James Bible. And many of them found since the King James Bible came out, but it only makes it more true. It only defends it. But there's some manuscripts that are corrupt. And so we're not going to, and you know, in this whole translation, they first of all say, well, you can't understand it. They push that. And then we need a new translation. And then they put in corrupt doctrine into the new translations from corrupt manuscripts. They use the less than 1% and teach a lot of things like throwing Jesus out of his own Bible. And a lot of other falsehoods that are found in these modern corruptions. And that's why we have this program. And God has blessed it so that it is now worldwide. And we believe that it's God that is behind us. So don't let anybody, if these people that correct it, you'll notice they never give you any reasons. Isn't that right? They never tell you, it should be corrected because of so-and-so. They just make a dogmatic statement and we're supposed to drop our holy Bibles and go by what they say.
Right.
And so, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. That's why Christians keep coming back to this particular Bible. And it says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And that's why the stranger's voice in the corrupt Bibles, they keep dying. They're dead to begin with, but God's sheep, they go back to the Word of God and found in the Authorized King James Bible. So, you know, it's not only that you believe it, but you need to read it. And reading it will change your life. You ought to read it every day of your life. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And those words are alive. And so we can put our faith in them, trust in them. How much time do we have now?
We've got just a couple of minutes left, about a minute or so, I think.
Okay, I'm looking at my watch here, and that thing's not working right, you know. So that's why I'm checking with my good buddy here that keeps things
Clark's
straight.
Clark's the one keeping us on time here.
Yeah, okay.
And Eric in the control room.
There we go.
There's the music starting. But,
okay. Well, go with God's word. And this Bible is God's love letter to you, and it's true. And you can put your faith in it. And thy word do I trust, not in some Bible corrector, but in the Word of God found in the Authorized King James Bible. Well, God bless you, and you have a wonderful day. And the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? And your sins and your iniquities will I remember against you no more. And so we got a wonderful God. We have a wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord. And he said he'll be with us and he'll help us. You have a great day. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program.